Amen. Well, God bless everyone. We thank God for you on tonight and thank God for his covering and his keeping in this weather that we're having. This is part four of the series Entrusted with Gifts. Right? I'm covering Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, for the past 3 weeks, right, I've taught so far from verses 14 through 23. We're walking through it. And this is the parable of the talents. Okay? The parable of the talents and how they relate to spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, let's reread. Turn to Matthew 25 and 14 with me. And I'm going to reread verses 14 through 23. All right? Matthew 25 and 14. I'm reading from the King James Version, all right? The word reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Mm-hmm. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. I'm at verse 23 now, Matthew 25 and 23. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right. So that was Matthew 25, verses 14 through 23. Now, from those verses, from those passages, we've made several observations. One, right, we've noted that at least one spiritual gift, could be more, at least one spiritual gift is given to every member of the body of Christ. Okay? Verse 15, right, tells us how the Lord of the house, who is Jesus, right, gave to each of his servants talents. The second thing that we have noticed is that spiritual gifts are extremely valuable in the spirit realm. Okay? They are extremely valuable in the spirit realm. We know this because Jesus, in using the parable talking about talents, we've already, right, recognized that a talent in today's market is worth 20 years of labor on the job, or anywhere between $600,000 to over $1 million. So I don't know about you, but in my book, that makes a spiritual gift a very valuable commodity. A third thing we learned is that spiritual gifts are given according to how we use our natural talents, right? Verse 15, right, says that, right, to every man according to his several ability. His ability. We all received natural talents when we were born physically. And depending on how we use those natural talents, the Spirit of God makes the determination, all right, well, if you were used your natural talents well, then you are worthy of, right, whatever number of spiritual gifts. We don't make that determination, right? God does. Nobody can determine what your gift or gifts are. They are determined by the Holy Spirit. A fourth thing that we noted is that every gift holder is going to be held accountable for what they did with their gifts. Let me repeat that. Every gift holder is going to be held accountable for what they did, and I can say, or didn't do with their gifts. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the parable shows us that everyone doesn't receive the same gifts. We see this in the fact that one received five, one received two, and another received one. Okay. According to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it tells us, right, that, you know, everyone receives different types of gifts. Not only different numbers of gifts, but different types of gifts. And each of the gifts, they were to be used, whatever they had, whatever gift is given is to be used for the benefit of the kingdom of heaven. And we say, the only thing that benefits, the only thing that brings glory to God, the only thing that benefits the kingdom of heaven is when people get saved, and they are encouraged to stay saved. In other words, the thing that benefits heaven is when the people of God function in discipleship. Right? And discipleship is what we have been commissioned to do. If you're new to the term discipleship, right, write down Matthew 28:19-20. That's where Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe everything I commanded you. So we've all been, right, we've been given gifts for the purpose of helping to disciple the world. All right? Now, the ones who had five gifts and two gifts, the scripture tells us that they used their gifts to gain five and two souls for the kingdom. Okay? Now, right, we know that it is a parable, and so it is not literal, it is figurative, showing us in earthly terms, in earthly illustrations, what it is like in the spirit realm, in the kingdom of heaven. All right? Yes, in the earthly realm, having talents, being given money by our boss, he would expect us to use that money to bring him monetary increase. All right? But this isn't a story. This isn't about an earthly boss. This is about our heavenly boss. This is about our Lord in heaven, who has given us spiritual gifts for the purpose of building up the kingdom of God. Right? Now, whenever they use the one who had the five gifts and the one who had two gifts, when they used them, they were commended and rewarded. Both of them were commended and rewarded with, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Now, what did they do? What did they do to please the master and receive such a commendation and reward? Three scripture passages came to mind when that question came to me. The first one is Matthew, the fifth chapter. Write this down, Matthew 5:14-16. All right? Okay? And I always say, have a pencil and paper ready so that you can jot down, right, scriptures and notes. You jot down the scripture first, then you find it, okay, so you won't lose what it does. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, right? If you will, that light that they have, that light that we are, that light that's in us, right, is the light of Jesus Christ. And it is the gift. They are the gifts of God, right? Now, when we let our lights shine, what we are doing is we are allowing the Spirit of God to work through us. And the operative word is work. Right? He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the works that we do are not to be ours, but is to be the works of God working in us. Right? For that, look at Ephesians. Flip over to Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 10th verse. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, right? For we are his workmanship. See? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right? Anybody going to get saved in this world because, you know, we might be a good cook, because you're a good cook and, you know, you cook good food and eat it all yourself, you know? Right? Or whatever good works that we do in this earth. No. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in good works. God ordained us to walk in good works. We are his workmanship. What's the operative word here? Work. Uh-huh. Now, write down James 2, 14 through 20. In James 2 and 14, the word says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not, what? Is that word? Works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now think about this. Think about this, right? We have, God has given to us by the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. And so what good is it, the word says, James says, what good is it if we have spiritual gifts and we see people who have spiritual needs and we do nothing with those gifts to satisfy those needs? He says, what does it profit? Look at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Mm-hmm. Don't care how spiritual we might be, right? Don't care how much we love the Lord. It doesn't matter how many scriptures we can quote, right? Faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone, right? Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Don't you know that? James asks, don't you know? So, right, all of those scriptures, Matthew 5, Ephesians 2, James 2, all of them speak of the same thing, and that is works. Right? The first two in our parable, they let the gifts work through them to bring forth fruit. We don't work the gifts. The gifts work through us. All we have to do is, right, like Matthew said, let our lights shine. We don't make them shine. We just let them shine. Don't hide them. Right? Don't hinder them. Same thing with the gifts. If we let the Holy Spirit work on us and through us, He will bring forth spiritual fruit. He will bring forth a harvest which is pleasing to God. Right? Now those two, the one who had the five talents and the one who had the two, the one who had the five gifts, the other who had the two, right? They didn't do what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 or Ephesians 4:30 tell us not to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. Okay? Long, long verse. Those would be the kind of verses we tried to memorize when we were younger, when we had to memorize scriptures for the youth group, DCYF. Quench not the spirit. Now, the word quench is to extinguish, suppress, stifle, or put out. Mm. So let's read that again, right? It's saying don't quench the spirit. Don't extinguish the spirit, the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't suppress the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle. Don't put out or put away the Holy Spirit. And listen, we would be quenching the Spirit if He was leading us to do something say something or go somewhere and we try to resist it or ignore it, right, in any way. Okay? If the Holy Spirit is leading us to do something, and listen, right, sometimes what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do is just be still, shut up, right? And if the Holy Spirit is just telling us to shut up and we don't listen, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise God. I love that. I love that. Especially that last part, right? It says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Amen. We might mess up, but we are sealed. Praise God. We might fall down, but we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right? But the word says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, to grieve is to bring deep emotional pain, sorrow, or distress. We grieve the Holy Spirit, right? We can cause the Holy Spirit emotional pain, sorrow, or distress. And listen, it grieves the Spirit when we quench it. The Spirit is grieved when we extinguish, suppress, stifle, and put out the works of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, when we know the gifts that have been given to us, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to empower and activate those spirits in and through us, the results will not only be good works, they will be greater works than Jesus did when he walked on this earth. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. But only when we let the Holy Spirit work through us, right, using the gifts that he has given to us. All right, let's read. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and let's read 24, verse 24 and 25. All right? Matthew 25, verse 24 and 25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Oh, my goodness. Listen, listen, listen. This servant took the priceless, powerful, and productive gift that had been entrusted to him, and he hid it where it couldn't be seen or heard from. Right? He hid it in the earth. Right? Now, this servant took quenching, right, to a whole another level. Because instead of letting the gift work on him or through him, through his body, he used the energy in his body, right? And the energy in his mind to dig a hole in the ground. I mean, he went through the trouble of digging a hole in the ground, putting his gift in it, and then covering it up. Right? Now, and listen, as I read it, I also noticed that he listened. He was listening to something other than God. In verse 24, when he says, "I knew thee." Well, how did you know this about God? "I knew thee, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not strawed." How did you know this about God? Who were you listening to that told you that and convinced you that what you needed to do with your gift was bury it? Right? That's why you've got to be careful who you listen to. We can't even take confidence in listening to ourselves. What we think, right, is not what God thinks. The word tells us, his thoughts are not our thoughts. So we can't even get confident in that, well, I had this thought. This thought came to me, and it was powerful. It was strong. I couldn't shake it. I dreamt about it last night. I woke up with it on my mind. And this thought told me that I ought to. We can't go by that thought if it's not backed up by the word of God. Right? Now he might have thought he was doing good because he was a member of the church. Right? He thought, well, just being a member of the church, that's good enough. That's good. I'm doing a good thing. I joined the church. Or he thought he was good and doing good. His life was, you know, he was okay with God because he worked giftless in a ministry. Right? Or Because he gave a tithe or an offering every now and then. Okay, I got to throw that in there, every now and then. Or any other number of religious things, right? He thought he was doing good. But when everything, when it was all said and done, he had nothing to show for his tithe. He had nothing to show for his spiritual life, his spiritual activities. He had nothing to show. Now, what do I mean by when I say that he worked giftless in a ministry? It's possible to serve in ministries that we haven't been gifted for, right? Or without using the gifts we have for years, without enriching anyone's life spiritually. You can serve, right? We can do this. We can serve in ministries for decades. We can be members of churches of a church for decades, right? You can give good money, right, for years. But at the end of the day, at the end of the year, if we ask the question, how many got saved because of your testimony? How many were encouraged, right, to stay in the race? How many did you help to grow up in the things of God? Not how many floors did you sweep. Not how many windows did you wash. Not, right, how many baskets did you fill or how many meals did you cook, right? No, no. How many mission trips did you go on, but how many lives were changed because you let your light so shine so that they could see the good works of the Holy Spirit working through the gifts in you. Right? Somebody ought to be able to say that they were saved or spiritually enriched because of us. Right? Turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians 3 and 12. I'm going to read 12 through 15. Let's look at what Paul says to the church. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, write it down. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 15. Right? The word says, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, let me back up to 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, of the gospel, of salvation. It is Jesus Christ. Salvation is built on Jesus. Okay. Now, If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What are you talking about, Paul? Paul says, look, right? The foundation is Jesus. Right? We have been called to follow Jesus. We have been called to serve Jesus, right? We have been called to make disciples of all nations. And teach them in the things of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, look, if you can work all your adult life, but if you aren't building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, everything else is, that's right. It will be burnt up. It will be destroyed. It is expendable. Is going to burn in the fire. It will not stand in the fire. So, right? Lord, I sung in the choir for 20 years. Who got saved? Okay? Right? Nowhere in Jesus' commission did he tell us, right, to go into all the world and sing in the choir. Not saying that we shouldn't sing in the choir. I got nothing against choirs. Right? But the gift of God working through us ought to touch somebody's life, draw them to Jesus, or build them up. Edify them in the things of God. If not, it's going to be burnt in the fire. So, what is it that drove the man to take a priceless, powerful, and productive gift and bury it in the earth? Matthew 25 and 25 tells us. It starts out with three words. Well, four. He says, I was afraid. Three words. All right, so skip the end. I was afraid. The thing that drove the man to bury his gift was fear. Fear. What was he afraid of? Well, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not he was afraid of failure, afraid of being rejected, afraid of being left alone, because, you know, some people will, you know, friends will leave you. when you, come to the Lord, when you are doing the work of God, because they don't understand. They don't understand what God is doing to you or through you. Right? It doesn't matter whether or not it's the fear of making a mistake, a fear of failure. It doesn't matter what the fear is. Any fear that extinguishes, suppresses, stifles, or puts out the work of the gift that God authorized Jesus to give to us by the Holy Spirit is demonic, and it grieves the Spirit. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Any fear that extinguishes, suppresses, stifles, or puts out the work of the gift that God authorized Jesus to give to us by the Holy Spirit, it is demonic and it grieves the Spirit. Turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning at verse 6 and 7, and I'm almost done. 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse 6 and 7. The word says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." Paul is talking to Timothy. Right? "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Right? Paul says, look, you need to, you've got gifts, you've been gifted by God. Right? And you need to stir those gifts up. And then he tells Timothy this: "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." Now, why would Paul tell Timothy that? First, he tells him to stir up the gift that you have. Don't you quench the gifts that you have. Don't you let fear quench what God has given to you. Right? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Okay? Fear is a demonic spirit sent as a tool by Satan to steal, kill, and destroy what God has for you and wants to do through you. I'm sorry. Has and wants to do through us. Right? Fear quenches. It did it to that man, the man in the parable. He says, "I was afraid." Fear quenches, but faith empowers. When we put our faith in God and trust God to do what God does, that's when we see the power of God in action. But when we let fear have its way, it steals what God wants to do. It kills what God wants to do. It destroys everything that God wants to do for us and through us. Now fear obviously deceives and blinds. It has the power to deceive us and blind us. Because the man in the parable, he was deceived and blinded into thinking that doing nothing with his gift was a good idea. I mean, how can you know Jesus? How can you know the Lord and think that if I take this awesome, powerful gift that he has given to me, and if I bury it, if I don't use it, I mean, that's worse than what Jesus said in Matthew 5, right? That's worse than putting the light under a bushel. He dug a hole, buried it. And like I said before, right, there are saints sitting in churches every Sunday throughout the world who have hidden their spiritual gifts. Right? Who are sitting on their spiritual gifts, who have gifts, powerful gifts that would do great works for the Lord, but somehow, maybe fear or what, but some kind of way, they thought it was or think it's a good idea to do nothing with it. Prayerfully, next week we'll see why it's not a good idea. Oh Lord, we'll look and see what the Word says, what Jesus says about why hiding our gifts or our gift. That man only had one. He only had one gift to use, right? And Jesus tells him why it was not a good idea. All right? Praise God. Let's pray. Mighty and merciful Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for revelation knowledge. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have trusted us, your sons, your daughters, with great gifts. Lord, even if you gave us one, I thank you that it is a valuable, treasured gift in the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, I ask you, God, help us, Lord, to not to quench the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit, but Father, oh God, that we would let you work on us and through us. Father, forgive us for our ignorance, but I thank you that, Lord, you told us in your word, if we ask, we would receive. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you would show your people, God, show us what our gifts are and where you want us to use them. Father, show us how to use them. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.